Let's read another passage from the book of Jude that we were a few weeks in verse 11, looking at the three Old Testament characters, Cain, Balaam, and Korah. But let's read on from verse 12 down to verse 19. Verse 12 says, "These men are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever." Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. "See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, 'In the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires.' These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit." May the Lord bless his word of truth to your hearts. So far in the book of Jude, in our outline, we have looked at Jude distinguishes those who have faith and those who have it in verses 1 and 2. He defends the faith, verses 3 and 4. And this number of weeks, verses 5 to 11, he draws from Old Testament history to warn against corrupting the faith. He mentions the Israelites. He mentions fallen angels. He mentions Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he mentions Cain, Balaam, and Korah. And this morning we're looking at Jude describes those of false faith. And then when I come back after holidays, God willing, we'll finish the book of Jude, that he directs those of true faith. So Jude describes those of false faith in verses 12 to 19. And he has a way with words. Jude has. And we see, first of all, the variety of their description. One says that sky, land, and sea are ransacked for illustrations of the character of these men. How relevant the book of Jude is for today. Because there is false faith out there. And there is true faith. And in verses 12, he says these men are blemishes or are spots at your love feasts, shepherds, clouds, trees, waves of the sea. And in verse 16, these men are grumblers and fault finders. So he uses a variety of descriptions. Let's briefly look at each one of them. Blemishes. These men are blemishes at your love feasts. The love feasts were the fellowship meals enjoyed by the Lord's people, by the early believers. And they became the setting for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And that's what the love feast is. But there were those who were there, and their hearts were not right with God, and they were a blemish among the true people of God. They were the ugly spot. These men are spots at your love feasts, some translations might say. If I had a white page and just a wee black dot on it, and I held the page up, that's the first thing you would see. Your eye would be drawn to the blemish on the page, to the black spot. And it's a very interesting Greek word for spot or blemish. It means a hidden reef or rock. And you know what destruction that can cause to a boat at sea? A hidden reef or rock. And maybe that's what Paul had in mind when he said in 1 Timothy 1 verse 19, holding on to faith and a good conscience, some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. And that would be an awful mess to be in. To be sailing along fine for a while and then to shipwreck the faith. And Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 to be a good soldier. And it's as if Paul, through that text, and Jude as well, is saying to us, you know, you don't just have to be a good soldier, you have to be a good sailor. Because there are those hidden reefs, there are those hidden rocks that might cause you to be shipwrecked, that might cause serious damage. And these people were coming along to these feasts, maybe appearing evangelical, maybe appearing genuine. People were listening to them, but you know, there was wee things that they were saying that, oh, I never thought of that before. And maybe they were getting a few to gather around them and to follow them. And these are how movements started. These are how the cults started. Just with individuals that had their own ideas about things. Blemishes. The NIV says shepherds. These men are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm. They don't care what damage they do. Shepherds who feed only themselves. Selfish men who don't really care about people at the end of the day. And Ezekiel has something to say about false shepherds. In Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. Shepherds who don't care about their flocks. Shepherds who feed only themselves. He talks about clouds. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Clouds without rain. And that reminded me of the hymn that we just sang, Showers of Blessing. There shall be showers of blessing, because a cloud without rain will not give any showers. There'll be no rain. There's no water to give rain. There's no water, I'm in the cloud, to give showers. And sometimes the sky darkens. Sometimes the clouds are grey. And you just think there's going to be heavy rain here. But there's not. There are clouds without rain. And then clouds come along that look similar. Grey clouds come along. And they are full of water. And the rain does come. And sometimes you can be caught out. Clouds look the same. And clouds that you think that there's water in and, oh, it's going to rain. It doesn't. They're just passing clouds. But then clouds come along. Oh, they just look the same as those other ones, and it didn't rain. I'll take a chance. I'll go out without a coat. I'll go out without an umbrella or whatever. And then it does rain, and you're caught out. You see, in false teaching, there's no showers of blessing in that ministry. There's no showers of blessing. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. No showers of blessing. Waterless, clouds, and dry. Nothing in their teachings. Nothing to grip the soul. Nothing to bless the soul. It's just dry. Nothing to revive the soul. Nothing to give real encouragement. God's blessing is not in false teaching, it's in truth. You go where you're going to get blessing. You read what is going to bless your soul, what is going to help you and encourage you. And teach you the right ways of God. You will hear. You only want to hear what will be a blessing to your soul and will teach you and encourage you. So, clouds without rain, autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. Jude just doesn't say trees. He mentions the season, autumn trees, at the time when you would expect a lot of fruit on the trees. But these men and their teachings, their ministries, these are autumn trees without fruit. Nothing has grown without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. How different it is to the true believer. Psalm 1 and verse 3, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Not just at autumn time, but even winter, spring and summer, just the four seasons of the year. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. This is the life of the true believer. This is the life of the man or woman walking in truth, who knows the truth in their heart. Again, linking 2 John and 3 John, living the truth and loving the truth. And you are continuously fruitful in your life. Even when things are difficult. And even Psalm 92 says, even in old age, you're still bearing fruit. You're still growing the things of God in your life. still growing the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of holiness, the fruit of praise. These things are still growing in our lives. But how different it is to those who are false. Autumn trees, maybe they look well, but they're without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. No real spiritual life there. They're dead. And Jeremiah mentions something similar in Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. That's Jeremiah's angle on the tree. Psalm 1 and verse 3 is different. It doesn't fear when heat comes, when those difficult times come. And we know that they do come along in our lives. Things might be going along nice and smooth, but then there's a difficulty comes along. And your Christian experience just doesn't stop when trouble comes. Your Christian life will see you through that. And God is there to see you through it, and his presence and his strength. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. You'll still continue to bear fruit. Maybe it needs those times in order to bear fruit. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit because its roots are in the stream. Its roots are well watered. And you've got to have the roots of your faith deep, not shallow. Have them deep in order for you to grow, in order for you to thrive in times of trouble. So these are word pictures that Jude is using here. Blemishes, shepherds, clouds, trees. And then he causes us to think of the waves of the sea. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. Not just waves, the sea is not calm. They are wild waves of the sea. They've been whipped up by a storm, foaming up their shame. Isaiah 57, verse 20 says, but the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and dirt. And you know that the sea can be beautiful in appearance. From a distance, it can look lovely when you're up at the coast and maybe the sea's out of sight, but when you turn the corner of the road and there's the sea, we just love to see the sea, don't we? But how the sea can expose much filth. How there can be much swept up onto the beach. And what is said, like deceptively beautiful waves on the seashore that deposit a filthy scum on the beach, these people leave the sickening emptiness of fruitless and ruined lives behind them. So we have been looking around the earth. We have been looking at clouds and trees, the waves of the sea. Jude causes us to look a bit further. Wandering stars, for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. And of course, before the inventions of maps and compasses and so on, stars were observed for navigational purposes at sea. Fixed stars. And people knew where they were going. Sailors knew the direction to go in. But wandering stars, maybe Jude has in mind, shooting stars, they weren't reliable. They could not be relied upon for guidance. And that's what he's saying about these individuals. Wandering stars. They can't be relied upon. And he comes to the end of these six descriptions, blemishes, shepherds, clouds, trees, waves, stars. And he closes with this very solemn note, for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Or the blackness of darkness. I don't think we can imagine a darkness like that. I remember years ago someone saying that they had an opportunity to go down into a mine, into a coal mine in England, just to see what it was like. And then when they were down there, all the lights were put out. And you could not see a thing. And we know the way that our eyes can adjust in the darkness, and we can see the outline of things. This person couldn't see a thing. And the lights were off for a long time. Their eyes could not adjust to the darkness. Deep underground. And it gave them an idea of what this was here. For whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Again, it's a picture of hell. What hell is like. There's no light there. It's the blackest darkness. Sight will not adjust here. And this idea, this casual approach to hell, I'll not be alone, you know, my mates will be there, and you'll not be able to see your mates. You'll not be able to see anything. Not be able to see anyone. You'll just be consumed with your own conscience that has been awakened for all eternity. And there's going to be no rest from an awakened conscience. And these men will be awakened to how false their teaching was. And their deceptions. Others will be awakened to various sins that they were engaged in. For whom blackest darkness has been reserved. And we look around the world and we see the sins that people are engaged in and the sins that have gripped them, and we see those who are involved in violence and sexual immorality and just absolutely everything under the sun. And for those sins, blackest darkness is reserved for them. No wonder when you read a phrase like that, how these people need to hear of Christ, who is light. And heaven is a place of light. Job chapter 18, verse 18 says about the wicked man. And when we did some sermons from the book of Job away last year, and this verse particularly gripped me, Job 18 and verse 18, speaking about the wicked man, he is driven from light into darkness and is banished from the world, or is chased from the world. Chased from the world. He is driven from light to darkness, from the light of life, from the light of physical life. And a sinner can be enjoying this life, this earthly life. But then when death comes, they're taken from this light of life into this blackest darkness, where there is suffering, where there is torment. And that is an awful picture. This picture of hell, blackest darkness. And there's an example of that in the plagues in Egypt, outlined in the book of Exodus, when for 3 days there was darkness. There was light in Goshen, where the children of Israel were present, but there was darkness in Egypt, so dense that people couldn't move. People were in their homes for 3 days and 3 nights. It was that dark. They could not adjust to it. Only for 3 days. And you know, those people may have been thinking to themselves, well, the other plagues came and they were severe, but they passed. This darkness will pass. And it did pass. It was only there for 3 days. But this is a darkness that will never pass. The blackest darkness. It's for all eternity. It's forever. No relief. And this is for those who are without Christ. And you don't have to be a false teacher or believe false teaching. You don't have to be involved in the grossest sins of this world. Just, you don't have Christ as your Savior. Come along to an evangelical church every Sunday, but you don't know Christ as your Savior. You haven't yet confessed to Him that you're a sinner and Jesus has died upon the cross that you might be saved from your sins. To whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. That's a very solemn thing. And verse 16 says, these men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. It seems that they condemn their critics and they commend their converts. And again, as I've said, 19 verses of Jude are found in 2 Peter. And Peter mentions a similar list. 2 Peter 2:13 says they will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed and a cursed brood. And verses 17 to 19 says, these men are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them, for they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. So we can see how different Peter is, but yet he uses the same imagery, the same variety. the variety of their description, and then the voices raised against them. Again, both from the Old Testament and the New Testament. He mentions Enoch in verse 14. Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men as long ago as Enoch, who is recorded for us. His short biography is more or less recorded for us in Genesis chapter 5, verses 18 to 24. It gives his genealogy. And we don't know much about Enoch. It's not until we come to this book of Jude that we find out more about the character of Enoch. Genesis 5 and 24 says, Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. One of those mysterious verses of the Bible. A man who never saw death, but yet God seems to have translated him to heaven while he was still alive. A picture really of the second coming of Christ and what it must be like when believers will be going about their own business and Jesus will come and we shall just rise to meet him in the air. But Jude gives us an idea of the times in which Enoch lived. He prophesied about these men. This was nothing new in Jude's day. These men have always been around in some shape or form of false ministry. Here we have the only recorded words of Enoch in the Bible, given by Jude. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones, angels, to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. See how Enoch dwells upon the term ungodly. Enoch lived in ungodly times among an ungodly people. But yet it says Enoch walked with God. You can walk with God in ungodly times among ungodly people. Another little picture of Enoch is given in Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, so someone must have gone out looking for him. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. What a testimony. And surely we are to be like Enoch in this way. He was the great-grandfather of Noah, and he prophesied even in his day against falsehood. He prophesied about the second coming of Christ, whatever knowledge he had of Christ, and he prophesied of the day of judgment. There has always been a voice against falsehood. Abel was the same. Enoch, Noah, etc. And then a voice from the New Testament in verse 17. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. And Jude may have had Peter in mind. Chapter 2 and verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. And chapter 3 and verse 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. And what's the difference between a true believer and one who is not, one who is false? The verdict for their falsehood is in verse 19. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. Simple as that. They do not have the Spirit. The Christian is one who has the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit who glorifies Christ. The Spirit of regeneration and sanctification. The Spirit who influences. The Spirit who empowers. The Spirit who indwells. Jude is writing about those who do not have the Spirit. And we'll see in our next study, he is speaking of those who do have the Spirit in verse 20. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Do you know that you have the Spirit? That you're a Christian? The Spirit of God confirms with your spirit that you're a child of God. And you know the influences of the Spirit in your life. You don't understand everything. You don't understand what is going on. But the Spirit of God is here. He lives within. And He leads you. He guides you in the ways of the things of God. So I trust that there will be evidence in your life that you're one who has the Holy Spirit.